Hi, everybody. Welcome to my Saturday morning podcast. Last week, my Blazing Five went 3-2, and actually, I had one loss, Baltimore. I thought I was on the right side. So I'm 15-19-1 in the season. Before we get to RJ Bell at pregame.com, let's go to my Blazing Five.
That's a hot one.
Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Five. Rams at Dolphins.
I think Miami is in a great spot here. I'll take the Dolphins plus four in what I think is going to be kind of an ugly football game. So the Rams, on a short week they played on Monday Night Football, have to fly east and play an early game. The Dolphins, well-coached off a bye. And by the way, the Rams have another bye coming up. So my gut feeling on here is Miami's going to play a really good football game. They're going to be limited with Tua. But the truth is, they at least know what he can do. The Rams don't even have tape to look at. They have to go look at Alabama tape on this. The Dolphins' defense is allowed 8.5 points a game last 2 weeks. Number 3 in the NFL. It's a well-coached football team, rebuilding but still in playoff contention. And I think the Rams, on a short week, going east, playing early, with a quarterback they have no idea what they're getting into, upset. Miami wins 27-26. Tua looks okay. He won't be the story. The Rams playing poorly will be the story.
Titans at Bengals.
I'll take Tennessee minus 6.5. First of all, Cincinnati has some injuries this week. They're kind of falling apart. So the Bengals are falling apart. Secondly, a week ago, we thought Tennessee may be the best team in the league. Because they lost to the Steelers, they're not at least a touchdown better than Cincinnati. First of all, the Titans are the fourth highest scoring team in the NFL. They're doing everything. They run, they throw. And Ryan Tannehill leads the NFL with a passer rating over 115. The Bengals' defense is bad, getting worse, and now injured. They've allowed Baker Mayfield and Phillip Rivers the last 2 weeks to have season highs in touchdowns. Tennessee, well-coached teams that lose in big national TV games usually play excellent focus football the following week. I think the Titans win going away 38-24.
Colts at Lions.
All right. You know, I like the Colts here, minus 3. Here's the reason. We've always said we like really good coaches off a bye. Not all coaches off a bye win, but good coaches off a bye. I think Frank Reich, twice in his career off a bye, is 2-0, and he gets a Detroit team that got outplayed most of the game by Atlanta. The Colts' offense has allowed 6 sacks all year. They run the football and protect their quarterback. Their defense is excellent. The Lions, playing at home, doesn't matter. Detroit's lost 6 straight home games, and they're really bad against the run. That's what the Colts want to do this weekend, take the ball out of Phillip Rivers' hands. Again, I think this is a fairly low-scoring game, so it'll be around the number, but I'm going to take the Colts to win 27-20.
Chargers at Broncos.
I'm actually going to take Denver plus 3.5 here. It's the hook. I'm going to take the half. Reality is Justin Herbert is really talented, but he's never gone to play in that altitude. Okay. Vic Fangio is one of the best defensive minds in football. Denver's got all sorts of talent, and it feels like the season for the Denver Broncos. Their defense has actually, since week 4, has been really, really good, top 5 in everything. And the Chargers, their wins are over the Bengals and the Jags, and I like Justin Herbert a lot. But this is a rookie quarterback without a preseason, a handful of starts, very good defensive coordinator, and a defense in the last several weeks that have been playing really good football. I'm going to take the Broncos, little bit of an upset, to win 28-27.
49ers at Seahawks.
You know, it's funny. I'm from Seattle and rarely pick Seattle to win. They are a football team. If not for a goofy personal foul last week, they beat Arizona. They outplayed them. It's a really good football team. Jamal Adams comes back. That's really good for Seattle. The Niners are falling apart. Seattle's offense, this is as good as it's ever been. And the offensive line, for the record, is much better than people thought. It's a top 15 offensive line. We thought it was a weakness. It is not. Seattle getting healthier, getting Jamal Adams back. San Francisco is falling apart. Deebo Samuel out, 2 running backs out. A couple of weeks ago, the Niners beat the Rams, and I felt there was a sense of urgency. Seattle does not want to lose 2 in a row in this division. I think they come back. I think they play one of their games of the year. And I like Seattle to win and cover at home 28-21. For more of my Blazing Five picks, check out the Fox Bet social platforms.
All right, RJ Bell, Fox Sports Radio, pregame.com, at RJ in Vegas. All right, Felt like I had a good week. I actually like the numbers a lot this week. Let's start with Titans minus 6.5 at Cincinnati. Titans lost, but should have gotten that game to overtime. We forget how good Tannehill has been this year. He leads the NFL in passer rating. They're top five in virtually every offensive stat. And the Bengals' defense has allowed Baker Mayfield and Phillip Rivers season-high touchdown passes last 2 weeks. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. I'm going to take the Titans by more than a touchdown here. What do the wise guys think?
Slight agreement, and I got to be honest, I couldn't imagine a week ago I would agree with this, but here's why. There are major cluster injuries on the Bengals' offensive line, and it's a situation they just traded for a backup center, and they have two guys going to start this week that's had like two or three starts in their career. This is a catastrophe on the O-line, and then if you think about it, well, what does Burrow potentially do well? Throw from behind if you are getting a nice number.
That's right.
But maybe with the O-line, they're not as anxious to put Burrow back. They're throwing a bunch if they do fall down by four, you know, fall behind by 14 or so. So in general, I think Tennessee is overrated. But in this spot, I think laying less than a touchdown, you got to agree with it.
I'm going to take Miami plus 4 against the Rams. Number one, my prediction is it's an ugly, low-scoring game. The Rams, off a short week against the Bears, Brian Flores, an excellent defensive coach, rested Dolphins off a bye week. They're number 3 in scoring defense. They've allowed only 8.5 points per game over the last two games. I think they're getting better. The Rams in a short week go east. They may win the game, but I think it's low scoring. And I'm going to take the 4 points with Miami. What do the wise guys think?
Agreement here. And boy, if we had Fitzpatrick, I would love this.
Right.
You got to give it a downgrade with Tua.
Yes, you do.
And is that how you're thinking about
it? Yeah, you know, if Ryan Fitzpatrick plays, it is an outright win. And I think it's comfortable because I do like the Rams. But I'll be honest with you, last week was one of my best picks of the year. I like the Rams over the Bears. There are games where you sense urgency. And I feel this is a statement game for Miami with Tua, but I think there's limitations to what we know about what he can do.
And also, and this is something you haven't heard much about, or at least I haven't, left-handed quarterback, it's a major change for a team. The blind side gets flipped, and everything effectively gets flipped. So to me, I think it's certain, even if Tua ends up being really good eventually, it will be a downgrade. Remember, Fitzpatrick had the 7th best QBR. He still does. And now he's on the bench. But you mentioned the short week. Check this out. The Rams, since week 2, at Philadelphia, all the way back east. Then they came home at Buffalo the next week. Then they played the Giants at Washington. Then a big game against San Francisco at San Fran. Monday Night Football, and now at Miami. This is one of the most treacherous, series of travel spots I've ever seen. And you got a 10 a.m. start, Pacific time, body clock, and it's supposed to be hot in the second half. So advantage first half because of the early start time, Miami. Advantage second half because of the heat on a tired team. Except for Tua, I love this pick. I still like it.
Back more with RJ Bell, pregame.com after this. Colts at the Lions. I'm going to take the Colts minus 3. I think it's a relatively close game, but Detroit's lost 6 straight home games. Their defense, despite having a defensive-led staff, is kind of a mess. This matters to me. We always understand that good coaches are, it's a benefit to have a bye. So Frank Reich for the Colts has only had 2 byes. He's won them both. This is the best offensive line in football. They've allowed only 6 sacks. Off a bye, remember, Detroit was outplayed by Atlanta last week. I'm going to take the Colts here. If it's 3.5, I probably pass, but I'm going to take them. What do the wise guys think?
Disagreement here. In fact, I've got a Lions plus 3 in my pocket right now, and I don't love it. I bet it. And you know, there's 2.5s out there too, which you could benefit from here. Colts have the easiest strength of schedule so far, based on Football Outsiders, of any team. And let me ask you, Colin, and I know that you have some insight, you know, with the GM and all that, and I think that's super valuable. But if you look on the field, what's been the impressive win for you with the Colts?
Well, there have been impressive units and players, but so you know, you have the schedule you have.
But even with the schedule, what's been the dominating win against the lesser team, let's say?
And they probably really haven't. They probably haven't had. That's why I think it's a. I think it's a close football game.
Yeah. And to me, the thing I like about, listen, I'm not a Matt Patricia fan. I like rocket scientists in general, but in this case, not as much. But I'll tell you this: they traded. They've made a couple of moves that really show they're trying to win now. And I think one of the things you got to do this time of year is look at what the team's doing. And they're telling you how serious they are about making a push this year. I think the Lions are making a push. I would lean Lions.
I love Seattle -3. The Niners are a mess physically. They're banged up. Deebo Samuel, playmaker, out. Mostert, the back, out. Wilson, the back, out. And this is an offense right now that is profound. Seattle completely outplayed Arizona. If not for a personal foul call, they win that game in regulation. Jamal Adams returns. I think the Niners 2 weeks ago played with great urgency against the Rams, and I took the Niners in that game. I think Seattle feels like Arizona's better than everybody thought. The Rams keep winning. For Seattle, this feels like we lose this in this division. We could be in big trouble. I love the Seahawks -3.
Early in the week, I hated this pick. I'm going to call it a slight disagreement, but I'm starting to see your side of it. Here's why I hate it. Generally, Seattle to me is the most overrated team in the NFL. So I didn't hear this week's herd hierarchy yet. Where do you got Seattle?
I put them down like 7 or 8. Like they can't stop anybody.
See, that to me is reasonable, right? And where's the 49ers?
I had them like I think one spot above, but I said when I had unleashed it, I said they deserve number 6. But I think they're going to lose to Seattle because they're falling apart.
And I see that because I do think the 49ers are the better team. And Seattle, -3, is communicating that Seattle's the better team because home field is only about 2, let's say, even though Seattle's got a good home field. It's usually driven by the crowd. To me, the one thing that really Seattle can't overcome long term is they're literally scoring about a touchdown a game more than they would be if they had a normal amount of touchdowns and field goals. You can just do the math and say 63% are touchdowns in the NFL. Seattle's a good offense, so they should be a little bit higher, maybe 68, maybe 70. They've been almost 90% touchdowns. In the long run, that's not sustainable. And if they had just a couple more field goals instead of touchdowns, they would have had many games they wouldn't have covered. So I'm going to be very loose on this one and say a slight disagreement, but I see your side of it too.
Denver +3.5 against the Chargers, I'll take it. Listen, Justin Herbert has been excellent. But between he and Joe Burrow, they've got 2 wins, both against the Jags. Okay, let's not go crazy here. He's a terrific young player. Denver, their offense last week actually had over 400 yards against the Chiefs, and we know their defense with Vic Fangio is good. I do think Denver here, it's their game of the season. I love Herbert, but it's a lot to ask to go to Denver against an elite defensive coordinator and win. I'm going to take the Broncos +3.5.
This to me is a pure value play. I'm going to give you agreement. This is stop and think about the respect the Chargers are being shown right here. Both of these teams are 2-4, right? And the Broncos are at home. In Mile High, let's call it 2 points, right? Not 3 because of the COVID, lack of fans, but let's call it 2. So that means if this game were in L.A., you would add 4 points. The line would be 7.5. Could you imagine a team that's 2-4 against another 2-4 being 7.5? So you're getting a lot of value here. I really like the Chargers. We have 5 different power ratings that I aggregate and look at. One of them has the Chargers at number 12. One has them at number 14. But, boy, Denver has the better defense. You're getting over a field goal. This is pure value agreement.
I'm going to take Chicago +4.5. Michael Thomas for the Saints against – so Saints, Bears +4.5. I'm taking Chicago. Michael Thomas has not played since week 1, whether it's a discipline, hamstring, ankle. The problem being, even if he comes back, he hasn't worked a ton, in real action. And the Saints have the fewest big plays in the entire league this year. And the Bears' defense has allowed, on average, a passer rating of 78. They make games ugly. So again, I think this is a very low-scoring game. I'm going to take Chicago to muck it up and ugly it up. I think the Saints will probably win close, but the number here is too big. I'll go Chicago.
I think the media is going to march Drew Brees into the NBC studios because they want to retire this guy. Disagreement. He has the eighth best QBR right now. And the only quarterbacks in the league, Colin, that are more than 1 point ahead of him, so there's a cluster, is Rodgers, Mahomes, Josh Allen, Tannehill. So Noodlearm, without his best receiver, is still one of the best quarterbacks walking the earth. They've only had one game, DVOA-wise, below average, and it was the Raiders. But here's the thing. There's two things that make me disagree with you strongly here. One, if you look at week 7, 8, and 9 for the Saints. Now, why 7, 8, or 9? Because like Belichick, it's a situation with Sean Payton where he looks at September as a extended preseason, extended, and this year even more so. In 7, 8, and 9, the weeks, 15-2 straight up, 13-3-1 against the spread. This is the Saints' time of year, and here's the secret one. And Fezzik gave me this one. It's a very good one. Is the wind is supposed to be 25, 30 miles an hour. Now, that's not great for Brees, no doubt, but he's got Kamara. He's got the Bears can't, they cannot run the ball. They throw. I think the wind hurts the Bears more than it hurts the Saints. I like the Saints.
Good stuff. Now, it's straight out of Vegas. It's on Fox Sports Radio Monday through Friday at 6 to 7 Eastern. His Twitter account, he's active on it, at RJInVegas, pregame.com. We're off a winning week. We cross our fingers. Good talking to you, man.
Good luck.